of the others. We're going to be talking about Haiti right now. With us on the air is my sister, Zili Danto, who's president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network, one of the most impassioned and motivated Haitian stateside leaders that I have met in many, many years. I admire her efforts. I admire her passion. I admire her scholarship. How are you, Ms. Danto? Good morning, Ms. Danto.
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Are you okay? I'm very, very well. I want to talk to you about a few things. First of all, tomorrow will mark the third anniversary of the earthquake. An earthquake that, needless to say, reduced much of Haiti to rubble, especially the capital, Port-au-Prince. A study by the Inter-American Development Bank, and we're not endorsing this, Edzili, estimated that the total cost of the disaster was between $8 billion and $14 billion, based on a death toll from 200,000 to 250,000. That number was revised in 2011 by Haiti's government. They now say it was 316,000 that were killed. Now, in June 2011, the International Organization for Migration estimated that 634,000 people were still living in displacement camps. Even though the international donors promised $5.3 billion, right, in March of 2010, 34,000 people are still living in camps. Now, from what official estimates are, Ms. Danto, that only 5,000 new homes have been built. I am aghast. There are no words to describe my shock when I look at this. After the billions that have been given to Haiti, how is it that it's only 5,000 new homes have been built? Where is the money going, Edzili?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising to those of us who've been doing Haiti work for many, many years. What your audience has to understand, Felipe, is that U.S. aid to Haiti is about money laundering, really. It's essentially about giving monies to Beltway companies, NGOs, privatizing the aid to NGOs to do as they see fit with regards to what they believe should be Haitian relief. And essentially, the New York Times just came out an article a couple of weeks ago where they said that $7.5 billion has been dispersed, but that little footprint has been left in Haiti, that most of the money did not go towards reconstructions, that the most important thing that's been done in 3 years is that the rubble has been removed. And some of us would say that's debatable. Some of it has been, you know, displaced to other spaces. And that the Clinton at the State Department and Bill Clinton at the UN as special envoy were sort of the U.S. leaders who were doing reconstruction in Haiti. And a couple of months ago, they came to Haiti, both Mr. and Mrs. Clinton, and the biggest flagship for reconstruction that they have to show with regards to that $7.5 billion is a sweatshop, not even in the space where the earthquake happened, but in the north of Haiti, where they had to displace and unemploy about 360 Haitian farmers to put that sweatshop that they gave to the Koreans, and then they brought in all of Hollywood to celebrate this sweatshop as the epitome of reconstruction in Haiti. So that's basically where the money went, and they say they're building 5,000 houses in that area for earthquake victims in the north of Haiti where there was no earthquake. So according to statistics, there's about 360,000 Haitians still homeless, and part of the money acknowledged by everyone was used, the money that was meant for the homeless, part of it was used to finance businesses, tourism in the time of cholera, and I don't think it's five-star or four-star hotel, Oasis Hotel in Haiti for foreigners.
So this has been a tragedy. It's been a horrible debacle. By the way, there was a $2 million project, and I want to tell our listeners, a $2 million project built 60 houses that now sit abandoned, according to Haiti Grassroots Watch, because they have no use to the Haitian people. Now, I'd like to talk about three subjects. One is the so-called violence in Haiti that caused the UN to bring troops in. And yet the contradiction is, and even the Times has said this, all of the international agencies have said that Haiti has a murder rate of 6.9 of every 100,000, while New Orleans has a rate of 58. So the question is not violence. Why is the peacekeeping mission in the United Nations still there? It's called MINUSTA. For an annual budget of $644 million, which would pay for the construction of, it's estimated, at least 58,000 homes. Why are these people still there?
To protect U.S. interests in Haiti.
So it has nothing to do with the so-called internal violence?
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, the statistics have always been, as a matter of fact, violence in Haiti is moving up, even though it's one of the lowest violence rates in Haiti. As of, like, in 2007, it was 5.7 per 100,000. Now it's 6.9. So the more foreigners we have in Haiti, the more violence moves up, because Haitian people are normally peaceful people, except for when the government starts murdering them en masse. Mm-hmm. Either with UN troops there, Marines there, who came in 2004. What folks have to truly understand is that the largest U.S. embassy in the Western Hemisphere has been built in Haiti.
For what? For what?
Well, you know, the idea is that we have nothing. We are violent, and we need foreigners to
oversee.
We can't govern ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, to oversee us.
No,
that's the narrative. That's the colonial narrative. Now, they have to keep that colonial narrative up. Of course, you know, it's being exposed, but because the mainstream media doesn't do what you're doing right now, and because of racism is so endemic in our being, Americans just naturally believe what they hear from CNN, what they hear from, you know, New York Times. You know, the whole thing is that when, in essence, the violence, there's more violence in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, absolutely.
Jamaica,
New York City.
New York City. And as you said, and just recently, you know, someone pointed out, in you know, North Beach, California, and
yes,
yet there's not 10,000 UN troops there, making almost $1 billion a year. So what we are is a cash cow, because misery of Haiti is used, just like we just showed in the 3 years of collecting over $2 billion in individual donations from regular folks in America, in all over the world, who saw the horrible pictures of this biblical proportion, apocalyptic sort of earthquake in January, 12, 2010, you know, folks open their pocketbooks and send money, and yet, you know, the Red Cross, Catholic Relief Services, UNICEF, and World Vision, all these folks are folks who no one can say what happened to the money. So that's what it's all about. It's about using racism to continue to build the people and the misery of Haiti. Just like, the, you know, in Katrina, it was done. I think America is starting to understand what this NGO charity business is about. But with regard to the violence,
It is beyond description, Ms. Tanto, beyond description. 35,000 women were sexually assaulted last year. 35,000. Where are the UN troops? If they're supposed to be protecting the civilian population, where are they? In those camps. We have not only heard about kidnappings and child transporting of children out of Haiti, which to some extent, and to the credit of the Haitian government, and you mentioned this in some of your communiques to me, we have to give credit to some Haitian internal organizations that have put a stop to the displacement, the absconding of children from Haiti to the United States, all in the name of Jesus, all in the name of Christianity. They've been able to stop it. Not totally, but they've been able to stop it. It is disgusting. It is immoral. It is unconscionable that you have a UN group that's there making, they spend how much, how many, almost $1 billion a year in Haiti? And still the Nepalese have not been thrown out of the country. By the way, folks, beloved, listen to this. They send several thousand UN troops into Haiti. Some of the troops are from countries whose health standards leave a lot to be desired. There's a river in Haiti. What's the name of the river, Edizili?
My river. Into the My River and then into the largest river in Haiti, which is the Artibonite,
right.
Breadbasket of Haiti.
Right. Now, I've asked Haitians all over New York City, have you ever heard of any cholera outbreaks in this river? They said, no, we ate there, we drank water there, we washed our clothes there, nothing. The Nepalese troops come, defecate in the water, take the solid waste that they defecate in, throw it into the water, and since they are immune to whatever diseases they have, whatever parasite, but the Haitian people are not, 7,500 people died from the cholera outbreak that ensued from the solid waste that was being thrown into the water. Of course, the UN said, it's not us. And finally, after years, they had to admit it was the UN troops. Have those troops been asked to leave?
They weren't even quarantined, much less asked to leave when they were in the country, those that brought in the cholera epidemic. As I said, the United States and the Westerners are not in Haiti because of protecting Haitian rights. The UN's not there for protecting Haitian rights. It's not because Haiti has more violence than as a matter of fact, Haiti has less violence than most of the countries in the Western Hemisphere, as we've pointed out. So you bring in these UN troops. Basically, the UN troops are proxy. The U.S. has outsourced its occupation of Haiti in order to avoid this scrutiny. So they've outsourced their occupation to the U.N. And the U.N., after the earthquake, which killed, according to Haitian numbers, over 320,000 Haitians in 33 seconds, after that happened, 7 months later, the UN brought in folks, like you say, from Nepal, who has cholera as endemic. Now, Haiti has not had cholera ever in its history. Mm. No one can ever in its history, and they brought it in. And obviously, if we had it, cholera is a waterborne disease. We have hurricane and floodings every year.
And it never happened.
We did not have any cases of, yeah, never happened until October 2010. And since then, and I want your audience to understand this, over 8,000 Haitians have died of cholera imported by the UN, and over 620,000 Haitians have been sickened and infected by cholera. And every time there's a hurricane or there's a flood, there is a spike in this cholera. And just recently, the UN announced they refuse to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse. They basically, put it back on, the violent if it's not the violent Haitians, it's the diseased Haitians and their lack of sanitation. Of course, they knew we had a weak sanitation system. And that's another story, because when President Aristide was in office, he tried he got a loan actually from the IDB to change and help the sanitation system. And the Bush administration block those loans for water treatment. So now the UN is saying that the reason the epidemic has gotten so bad is because of Haiti's sanitary system. So they're blaming us Haitians for the gross dumping of their raw feces into the Artibonite River, and refuse to take responsibility. And just recently, Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, came up with this plan to eradicate, this 10-year plan to eradicate cholera out of Haiti. And it's really, truly all about the same thing as the money that went to the earthquake victims.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
now, and no one's discussing the Cuban contribution. The Cubans have come in with doctors on the ground, have been about 11,000 of them have been there really, really working and I'm talking about cumulatively, 11,000 have been there working to prevent an even greater infection rate. And thank God for them. What I'm concerned with, Edzili, is this. We in the United States, and I'm going to specifically target progressives. I'm going to specifically target white progressives, Latino, especially Puerto Rican progressives, because we owe a great deal of debt of gratitude to Haiti for having been the revolutionary spark that caused black Puerto Ricans, African Ricans, people who were enslaved in Puerto Rico, to rise up in rebellion against the Spanish authorities. We owe them a debt of gratitude for rising up against the Spanish and Portuguese racism. It was Haitians who came to Puerto Rico who said, why are you taking this nonsense? In fact, the Spanish put edicts out. If you find a Haitian on your plantation, kill him, hang him, castrate him, do what you can. So Felipe, owes a great deal of gratitude to your ancestors for having saved me from the brutality of slavery, because Puerto Ricans, and they love to say this, we weren't as enslaved as other countries. That's like saying, I'm not as black as you. That is the stupidest thing. And if you read the history of Puerto Rico and read what actually happened, the tears will flow out of you. It was just as brutal, just as insidious. A little more, they had a little more patina on it. In other words, the Spanish could marry an African, but that was about as far as it went. So now I say, not only do I owe a great deal of gratitude, my people, my legacy, but so does the United States. Had it not been for Haiti, half of America would be French speaking right now, because it was going to be used as a landing, as a staging area. Napoleon was using it as a staging area to go to New Orleans and take over Texas, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and all of the other states that eventually became the Louisiana Purchase. Don't want to get into a lot of history, and yet I don't understand, what is it about us, Edzili? What is it about particularly people of color that they refuse to deal with Haiti? They will deal with South Africa. They will deal with Namibia. They will deal with Cuba. They will not deal with Haiti. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah. I'm just as perplexed as you are, Felipe.
Is it self-hatred? What is it? Is it self-hatred?
Well, it is. It is mental causation. It's this idea that the reason it's easy for the United States to pillage Haiti's riches behind this U.S. occupation, under the front of the U.N. humanitarian aid. The reason it's easy to do is because of racism, this idea that blacks are incompetent, they can't rule themselves unless they have some white advisors and white folks pulling the strings. I mean, that's what it is. And unfortunately, progressives, both liberal white progressives, so-called, and blacks, I mean, it's so embarrassing to all of us that what's happening in Haiti is happening, under the reign of Obama, under the reign of Cheryl Mills or Susan Rice at the UN. I mean, these are black women. And so this is what it's all about. It really is about white supremacy, how white supremacy operates to make victims out of victims, how, the narrative that, we've been saying at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership about Haiti's violence rate. I mean, this is the first time it's making news. That's 9 years later, after 2004. We've been saying that this occupation, this U.S. occupation behind a U.N. front, is about Haiti's natural resources.
That's
it's
right.
Petroleum, it's gold. Right now they're doing open pit mining of $20 billion. They finally acknowledged that Haiti has in gold. Now, they haven't done that. Gold mining hasn't been happening in Haiti since, the time of Columbus, when they destroyed the Taínos.
That's right.
To take their trinkets out.
And by the way, I should add that open pit gold mining is among the most dangerous, the most polluting in of all of the mining methods. It is disgusting. They have that dirty water that comes out. They use lead to get the stuff out. It can be very, very destructive to the aquifer, that is the water-laden soil of any country. So I just
so
wanted
imagine,
to interject that. Imagine
they've already poisoned our water with cholera. Now they're adding to it in the time of cholera, open pit mining in a place that's devastated environmentally. So, and then they're telling everybody this is all about humanitarian aid to Haiti.
Yeah, you know what happens. I love it when police put their foot on a brother's neck and say, "Stay still. I'm just trying to help you." You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
You know, Edzili, there are two things I want to talk about. First of all, what is going to happen? There are two things I want to talk about. One is Aristide, and the other is what do we do? Now that we've discussed the rapes that occur in Haiti every day, the number of people who are still displaced, that is, most of the people still don't have homes. And there are billions and billions of dollars in aid, $7.5 billion that's being kept in banks, making interest. So everybody's making money except Haiti. What is happening here? What can we do? There are Jamaicans who went there, who were first responders from CARICOM. There were Cubans who went there. People from all over the world. I know one Swiss man from the village of Vald, about an hour away from Zurich, who's there. People came to aid, to help, to comfort. What do we do? How can we help right now?
Well, the most important thing for the people at the moment is to stay alive behind this UN occupation. We at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership do that because we have a small, tiny clean water project, and we're asking folks to assist us with that. We have also said that Haiti has all that it needs within its own borders to elevate the life living standards of the people, that, you know, the United States has got to stop dumping its rice and other foods into Haiti and allow the Haitian agricultural, the farmers to live. So, you know, it's very difficult for me to say, you know, go to Washington and talk to them about, you know, stopping, ending the U.S. occupation, ending the NGO pillage donations, because at the end of the day, you know, these folks know what they're doing. It's not like they're unaware.
Well, of course they know what they're doing. They're very well aware that they're making money. Yeah.
They're just making money. So I think that folks have to really address the issue is, you know, if we know that U.S. aid is not about, you know, aid to NGOs, because the money did not go to the Haitian government or even the majority, the Haitian people or Haitian organizations, all of that billions of dollars went right back to folks like the Clinton Bush Fund and Clinton Global Initiative. I mean, so the money went from the U.S. to its own NGOs. Mm. And so we have to have a change in that narrative. We all, you know, and frankly, what we say at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership is keep your aid. Haiti doesn't need all of this repression, which is all, that's what it's all about.
Now, it also says here, just to interrupt just a little bit, I don't mean to stop what you're saying.
No, go on.
One of the problems is the governments, according to the governments, its inability to acquire land from the powerful families who own the land around Port-au-Prince. According to the government, it's difficult to rehouse people because most of the land surrounding Port-au-Prince belongs to very powerful families, and those families don't want to give the land to the state to rehouse people. What is your comment on that?
Well, I mean, it's when you have, you know, the most important thing, look at CARICOM, look at, you know, what they just did. I mean, what the U.S. wants to do, the whole concept is what is Haiti about? Haiti was created to be equally shared amongst all of its masses. It wasn't created so that oligarchy, a bourgeois class, would own everything, and that's what's happening right now. 1% of the population owns 98% of the wealth. And so that is something
sounds like
that
this place
President
too.
Aristide, yeah, was trying to change. But, you know, essentially, Haitians have fought against this forever, and that's one of the reasons why they continue to be unnerve the United States, because they try to live in la cour and compete in community, and understand that Dessalines created this space for the former enslaved so that all of the assets of the country would be equitably shared. And that is what the revolution is continuing with regards to Haiti. So those who believe in unfettered capitalism and profit as over people, those are the folks, whether they're NGOs, whether they're liberal whites or neocon whites. I mean, all of these guys. I mean, at the moment, for instance, okay, Paul Farmer, supposedly a liberal guy, Bill Clinton, supposedly a liberal guy. I mean, these are the guys presiding over the fleecing and pillaging of Haiti. Mm. So I think that what folks listening to you, Felipe, must understand and get a consciousness, I mean, awakening as to what's going on. What does the duopoly in America represent? It represents the interests of the rich and the super rich.
Of the ruling class. That is clear.
Yeah, the ruling class. I mean, once you understand that, and once you understand
then everything else falls into place. You can understand
exactly
why the money is not going to the Haitian people, why 600,000 people are still displaced and living in displacement camps, why women are still being raped with impunity. There was one woman who, I have a story here, of a woman who was raped and in Haiti. It was in the New York Times, brutally raped. We'll call her Wendy. She went to the officers. The officers said actually were hostile toward her. It took more than 16 hours after the attack. She hadn't slept or bathed before she got taken care of by a doctor. And in order for them to get the evidence, one colleague had to drive several hours back to the town where the assault happened, had to pay a bribe to the police officer to write up a report that simply stated she had lodged a complaint against a particular man. Can you believe this? So I stay with my mouth open that this is still being allowed to happen now. What, finally, the last question, and first of all, why don't you give us an address where people can send donations to you, to the Haitian, the Haitian lawyers. You need some money. Where can people send that money?
Okay. You can connect with the Haitian Lawyers Leadership by going to our website at ezilidantal.com.
E-Z-I-L-I-D-A-N-T-A-L-I. Yeah, go ahead. You have to spell it, Ma. E-Z-I-L-I.
D-A-N-T-O .com. And there you'll find a donation page there. Also, you'll find our latest pieces are on the blog, and you can get access to that so you can see what's going on. You will also see the work that we're doing with our Clean Water Project that are run by two women organizations in Haiti. And also, we are transferring skills directly to Haiti as opposed to what the NGOs do, which is, you know, they pay hotels and go down to Haiti and spend all the money on their salaries and the administrative expenses. We have a program where we have just sent four Haitian market women who would never, ever have gotten out of Haiti in their lifetime, mothers from very rural, abandoned communities where there's no electricity, no clean water, no government assistance. We have just sent those four women to India to a place called, it's called Barefoot College. And when they come back, they will electrify their villages by using solar power.
By using the skills. Now, one very quick question, and then we've got to move on. And that is, why is Sweet Mickey, Mr. Matelib, president of Haiti, why is he putting Aristide on trial? What is that about?
Well,
explain
that
to me.
Yeah, that's about deflecting from the you know, recently a lot of the corruption of the coup d'etat people have just been elevated. You know, there was a government exposure of one of Haiti's oligarchs, Clifford Brandt, mm-hmm. Largest kidnapping ring since 2004.
Yes.
So also there is accusation that Matéli's own son is involved in that gang, Olivier Matéli. There is accusations of corruption of Matilly's wife in terms of some particular. So there's all these accusations.
But yes, but that's good. They want to deflect it. But what are they charging him with? What are they charging him?
They're charging him with economic corruption of donation dollars that was given to an orphanage that he ran in 1990. That's almost, 20 years ago?
20 years ago, yeah.
And so no one is thinking about the NGOs and the $7 billion, but they want to go back to 20 years ago.
To find out why $50,000 is missing. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
Zilli, it drives me crazy. Listen, I want to thank you. God bless you. Always stay in touch with us. You always have you have a home right here on Wake Up Call. And WBAI.
I want to thank you so much, Felipe, for keeping Haiti at one of your top priority, in contrast to many others. So thank you very much for
Haiti,
paying that debt we all owe to the ancestors.
All right. There is a performance at Carnegie Hall. No? That's something else. I'm sorry. Edzili Danto, head of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Again, Edzili, E-Z-I-L-I. EZILIDANTO.com. Folks, get involved. This is your mother as well as mine.